Get ready to learn something weird. They figured out what the 10 most common birthdays are.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Top 10 most common birthdays. Number 10 is September 18th. Number 9 is September 16th. Number 8 is September 15th. And number 7 is September 20th.
Let's stop right there.
I mean, that seems kind of weird, right?
It's a span of 5 days. And it's like four or five of the top birthdays of the top 10.
Wait a minute. So September, right?
If you do the math, because you know I did.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everybody has to. It's right. Automatically where your mind is going.
Exactly. It's like the middle of December through Christmas.
Oh.
But who's getting freaky around before Christmas?
Well, you know what? Maybe some people got some vacation days. They're feeling the spirit. You're out running through the mall. You're shopping together. Maybe a little visit to the Intimates store.
That seems like a stretch. But then wait, it gets weirder.
Number 6 here, we have July 7th.
What? July 7th? Well, that puts you back at the middle of October. What can you figure out from that?
You just love America, and you're planning on it. You're going for a 4th of July. You want an Independence Day, baby.
I was waiting for you to make some kind of Halloween reference that wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
All right, but here's where things get real freaky.
Number 5, September 10th. We went back to September again. Number 4 is September 17th. Mm-hmm. Number 3 is September 12th. And number 2 is September 19th.
Wait for
number it. Number 1, September 9th. Big shock.
9 out of the 10 most common birthdays in America fall within that 12-day range at the beginning of September.
I mean, we only like each other around Christmas.
That's it.
That's it.
When you wonder why everybody is so joyful at the Christmas season and never everybody else is miserable throughout the rest of the year.
Right.
Here you go. This is why.
You're glowing. Did you just get back from vacation? No.
When it's September, my husband was born September 7th, right?
Okay.
And my cousin is September 8th. And my mom is September 18th, right? And 3 of our 5 best friends are also September babies. We have one big birthday in September to celebrate all of them together, which in a way, I guess they feel get cheated out of it because they all have to share their birthdays.
Sure.
But I want to say, we basically are on par with the national average. All your parents got freaky at Christmas.
You'll never look at your grandparents the same way again.
No.
Right?
No. You have about 6 dumb arguments every weekend. That is the national average. But who had the dumbest? It's time for you to decide. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, up first, it's John.
I just don't understand hockey. Why hockey? What is it about hockey?
Because they are the best professional athletes, and their skill set is just higher than other sports. It's faster. It's more fun. They can hit. They're physical.
I disagree with the more fun part. And I'm sorry, but I think the majority of the country feels the same way. Otherwise, it would be a lot more popular.
As soon as you started playing that, I looked over at Raven's face, and I knew that you were on my team with this one.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, I'm not a hater of hockey. I'm okay with hockey. It's fun to go and see it live. But people that love hockey, they all think the same thing, that hockey players are the greatest athletes ever. Listen, it's not easy to go out there and skate. You'll certainly be out of breath. They're good athletes. But why does every sport be like, oh, they're the best athlete? What qualifications?
Well, and the other thing is that this is happening during the March Madness tournament while we're at a bar. And it's like, don't tell the guy to turn on the hockey game. Nobody here cares. Nobody cares.
I think you're forgetting the most obvious thing. Hockey guys are hot. And that's probably a big thing.
When's the last time you stood next to a hockey guy? They smell.
Oh, hater.
It's disgusting.
Ahead. Sure. All right.
It's disgusting.
What was your dumb argument?
You know what? My wife has got some sort of mental block is that, you know, when we go to a store, we cannot park on the side of the store or behind the store, even if that's the closest parking space.
I mean, but you drive past the front parking spots to park a half a mile away for no reason.
No. Those parking spots are full. I don't want to keep circling and fighting for them with anxious people like angry ants.
You are terrible in a parking lot. You have absolutely no idea what you're doing.
And why can't I pull around the back of Costco?
For what? Why do you need to do that? Like, you have the worst sense of direction in a parking lot and an airport. You're so bad at it.
My Costco, people drive around the back and they do 50, 60 miles per hour. I see them go right into a spot and they're on with their lives.
The most shocking thing that I learned about Raven is he has no sense of direction. For some reason, he seems like the kind of guy's guy that you would think knows where he's going, knows what he's doing. It is shocking.
These are lies.
Shocking.
These are lies.
How little he knows.
That's why it's shocking to you is because these are lies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're total 100% lies.
All right, here's the argument I had with my husband.
Where's our TV?
It's in my office.
Why did you take the TV out of our bedroom and put it in your office?
So I can have March Madness on in the background while I was working Friday.
But why didn't you put it back?
Because the games go all weekend.
But what are we supposed to do in our bedroom?
Sleep.
That's right.
Are you serious?
That's right.
Yeah. I couldn't watch TV last night in bed because it had to stay in his office to get ready for today. I mean, are there even games today?
Yeah, but aren't you just watching TV on your phone anyway at night? Isn't
that
the bedtime routine?
No, I like to watch TV in my bedroom, and I only do it on work nights. I don't do it like on Friday. It took me 2 days to realize the TV was missing from our bedroom.
Well, I mean, I guess you didn't miss it that much, right?
Yeah. Here's Sean's argument.
Why did you use the new one?
What, toothpaste? Because I just wanted to try it. You know, I have no good reason for this. I don't. I really don't.
You constantly make us buy a bunch of toothpaste, and then you put them all in the medicine cabinet, and you use the new ones.
I was trying to switch it up, trying to get a different mint flavor.
Yeah, meanwhile, we have like 50 tubes in our medicine cabinet.
Whoa, it's 50 tubes of flavor.
I would never allow somebody to open a new toothpaste without finishing the last one.
Let me something. I have no leg. I have no leg to stand on here. She has every right to yell at me.
It's ridiculous.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Like, it's you, man. Yeah. I'm just so surprised. You're such a neat freak. You keep our office, you and I's office, like, so immaculate. I'm amazed you would allow this.
I, like, once, like, the toothpaste gets, like, down to a quarter, I'm like, all right, time to start using the new one.
No, you're nuts.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 If you watch people make a mess, like children, like in a public place, and you don't do anything to clean up after them, that's all I need to know about you.
What happened?
I just felt like this past weekend, there were so many instances where I saw kids out at restaurants where there was so much bread and crumbs and garbage and toy wrappers that they left under the table, and the parents made no effort whatsoever to clean up after them.
Mm.
I'm so embarrassed if my kids make a mess that, like, even if I'm at a restaurant or a place where I know that they have staff to do that, I'm going to make an effort to clean it up, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, some parents are of the school of thought where they're like, you know what, that's all part of the job. Or they're the same type of people that are throwing their trash under the table, too. Then they got to come over with that thing that's not a vacuum, but it's supposed to clean the carpet, but you know it doesn't really clean the carpet all that well.
It's from 1972.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the precursor to the Swifter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a real thing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went out to a restaurant this weekend, too, and one thing that I encountered was, if you think you own the bar area because you've got a salad or some sort of meal coming to that area, that's all I need to know about you. It's a large bar with seats, obviously, and we're waiting for our table, just like many other people in this area. And here's a couple next to us that has decided to eat there, but they believe that they're going to take over the entire space. And then when I go and I actually sit in the chair where the space is allocated for me to be, this dude glares at me like I'm some sort of jerk.
I like when restaurants put the placemats there.
Yes.
So then you know that that's your allocated space.
That's it.
That's all you get.
You can go maybe 4 inches outside of that space, and that's it, all the way around.
Lisa, that's all I need to know about you.
Anyone that still believes they should teach cursive in school, that's all I need to know about you. They barely write anymore, let alone need to write in an outdated way.
So you want to get rid of cursive altogether?
I feel like they're kind of doing
that. If we can, that would be preferred.
I mean, it amazes me how many times I've heard this conversation that people still have a debate. This was on TV just the other day. I was watching it.
Well,
and somebody was talking about it. And I mean, obviously, I learned cursive. You learned cursive. It was a requirement back in the day. And I don't think it's a requirement for most schools at this point.
My daughter, who is 15, she took, you know, she learned cursive, but not to the extent that we did.
Right.
The little one is still learning how to write regular. So, you know,
right.
I don't know.
And they're probably not going to offer it to her. I mean, they might at certain schools. But
I wonder. I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, is it still part of the curriculum? Do teach schools across the country teach it? When I write, like if I'm handwrite, I like to handwrite a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's a mix of both.
Right.
And I don't even realize how I do it or what I do.
Right.
But my daughter, the 15-year-old, asked me the other day how to make a capital S. And I had no idea.
You couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember how to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I started, I don't know what I made.
So you made a regular S, like a print S, and then the rest you wrote in cursive.
I guess.
I do that all the time.
I have no idea what I did.
Sometimes I'll write a sentence and three of the words are in cursive and three are in block letters.
Right.
Just goes back and forth.
I'm looking at my notes right now on this desk and it's like a weird combination.
But it just always feels faster and more fluid to me to do cursive. To tell you the truth.
Yes, it is easier to write in cursive and write faster. But I also think that most of these kids are barely writing anyway. Like, my daughter's handwriting, the older one, is so terrible. Mm. And I just attribute it to that she's always typed everything.
Yeah.
So it's not like she got the practice like we did when we were kids, where you would write a sentence 7 times in a row.
And you were required to. You remember the lined paper, like it had to be a certain size and all that. Yeah, remember, spacing.
Handwriting. You would have handwriting.
Right.
I wonder if that's still a thing. Well, 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 we hope you're happy with yourself.
What happened?
Ah, the entire world was all like, where's Princess Kate? I believe Raven insisted she was abducted by aliens.
I mean, I was concerned about her. I was worried about her. And now I'm still concerned and worried about her.
As we should be. Mm. So on Friday, Princess Kate finally came forward and addressed all the speculation about where she's been over the last few weeks, even though the palace had said she had gone surgery. And she started by saying this.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery.
Okay, first of all, she is a classy lady because everybody was, I shouldn't say everybody, many people were talking smack about the issues with the Photoshop picture on England's Mother's Day. People were making fun of her. People were saying she was abducted by aliens. People were insisting that her husband was cheating on her.
I mean, listen, this all is par for the course with the royals. All right, so let's not act like this is something new, that this just happened to her. This has been going on for decades and decades, and this is part of the job. So that's that. I don't think people were super mean about it or anything like that. It wasn't certainly like Diana stuff.
Right.
It wasn't like Meghan Markle stuff. It was like, where is she?
Yes, but
somebody took her.
But then it was, they had to ask the friend if he was having an affair. Yeah. And like, there was a lot that went around with it.
Mad at England tabloids, I guess, not at me.
Do you know what the funny part was about the England tabloid things?
What?
Is that there was a lot of talk that Americans were more obsessed about it than the English were. Mm. And I think in a lot of ways that's true.
Because we look at her as the ideal queen.
All right, so where was she? What's she doing?
It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment.
Oh.
Now we're all going to shut up.
Right. Now we're going to leave her alone.
Yeah.
And we're going to be like, okay. And then she went on to talk about she didn't want to talk about it earlier because she had to be able to explain to her young family. She's got 3 small children, you know, what was going on with mommy. She's going to be okay. Don't worry. I'm all right.
I mean, I know people that have gone through the entire procedure and all their treatment without telling anybody because they did not want people to talk to them or treat them differently.
Yes.
I'm not going to say whether or not that's a real thing, but I could see it being a real thing. I think that that's a personal choice that every person gets to make, except for when you're in the royal family.
And she wanted to wait. And this is what I felt like. This is such a mom thing to me. And I get it. She didn't want to make this announcement. And that's why she waited so long, because she wanted the kids to be on Easter break.
Sure.
So she wanted to wait that Friday. So I guess they have their break this coming week.
Mm.
She wanted them not have to be in school and have to talk to other kids with it. Yeah. And I thought, if that was ever a mom thing to do, everybody in the world is speculating on what's happening, and you want to be able to not have the kids go to school on Monday and have to answer all the questions from their friends.
Listen, there's no question that this is not an easy role to play.
Yeah.
I mean, to be in this position, it's not easy. However, it is the position that she and her family are in.
Oh, we just wish her all the best.
Yes, of course.
Once you become an adult, is it ever okay to shush somebody? Seems like obnoxious, right?
I mean, I thought that part of the cool thing of being an adult was you had the license to do that because you knew the appropriate times to be quiet. However, society clearly has broken down in the last couple decades.
Mm-hmm. John, what happened?
So I was hosting an event, and it was a fundraiser, and it was done in honor of like a very good friend of mine who passed away last month, right? And so I'm up there, I'm introducing the speakers, and I'm saying a few words about, you know, the event, but also about this person, this very good friend of mine who passed away. As I'm speaking, this woman in the crowd starts screaming, top of her lungs, screaming. Like, I thought
was she in pain?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, did something happen to her?
I thought somebody was having an episode, and it got to the point where, like, I had to acknowledge it. You know when you're on stage and something weird happens, and you can't pretend this isn't happening?
Yeah.
So I had to stop, and I lost my train of thought. It kind of derailed my whole thing, and I was mad about it. So I get off stage, I go talk to the sound guy. I'm like, dude, what's going on with this lady over here? And he goes, oh, yeah, there were some people in the back of the room who were talking, and she was trying to shush them. And I'm like, okay,
she was
so
trying
now,
to do the right thing.
Yeah, but now I'm
it
not
made
even
a bigger deal.
Now I'm not yeah. even allowed to be mad at this lady. Come on. If you're in a room, and like I played in bands for decades and stuff like that, if you want to go to the back of the room and have a conversation while I'm doing the thing up on stage, go for it, man. I don't care.
It's
I
allowed.
Can't hear you.
Mm-hmm. It's allowed.
We're at a bar. This thing was done at a bar. Mm-hmm. I get it. Just go in the back of the room. Don't scream. Like that lady made it so much worse.
Yeah. Is it ever okay to shush somebody or tell somebody else to be quiet?
I've been at a show where that actually happened before yeah. with Aaron Lewis. He used to do that. But it was it was such a slow, quiet show that people inevitably were going to talk or get bored or mm-hmm. whatever. And like you said, I mean, this situation is happening at a bar. So you don't even know if everybody is there at this bar for that you know, memorial.
Exactly.
Right.
I think there's certain instances where it's okay to shush. And I have to do it a lot. And I'm... Here's the trick. Here's the trick that I do. And and if you're ever on stage and you need to get the audience attention, it is uncomfortable because you're like, all right, everybody. Okay. Hello. My name is Anna Zapp. And, you know, you're talking and you're there for a reason. Right. But nobody stops talking. No one. So I learned a trick years ago to get my husband gets so embarrassed every single time I do it. I grab the mic and I'm going to do it right now. And you know how there's like, There's white noise and there's brown noise and there's pink noise. I'll grab the mic and I'll go like this.
Oh, no.
Everyone will stop talking to try to figure out what that noise is. Hi, everybody. My name is Anna Zapp from the Anna and Raven Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Works without fail. But I've had to shush crowds of thousands of people. Yeah. And it's like it's a weird thing to do because you feel like a weirdo. But what are you going to do to get these people's attention?
Well, your alternative is you scream, right? I mean, I think that your answer is an easier answer. I think that if you give somebody an annoying sound or whatever, they'll do whatever it takes to be put out of their misery.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it working because that's like subconsciously we're drawn to the wedding? Or is it just like, oh my God, who is shushing it? Who has the nerve to be, let me see
either
where
this
ridiculousness is coming from.
What's the difference?
The woman whose job is to raise $10,000 for cancer research and she needs your attention.
Right. I mean,
you know?
either way. But I mean, you're in any situation, I mean, there's certain people that have tact and there's other people that don't when it comes to those type of things.
But besides like these big events, like when is it okay to shush somebody? Because somebody wrote on our Facebook page at the movies and I'm not even sure you can do that anymore.
Don't think you can.
Is it ever appropriate to shush somebody like after you become an adult? I'm not talking about kids, but actual other grown-ups. 1-800-330-9999. Shannon.
Basically, whenever somebody is speaking, when someone else is speaking or performing for a group, you can shush that person in the audience.
You know what? I'll take that a step further and I'll just say a meeting, right? When somebody like the boss or the person that's leading this meeting, or it could just be that idiot that's two cubicles over from you is talking, because if you're talking during this meeting, guess what? This meeting's going to be longer and I don't need this meeting to be any longer. All right. I got to move on with my life. Let's go ahead and get this meeting over with. Ann Raven, can you ever shush somebody nowadays?
You know, it's not the most. I think there's a different way that you can ask somebody to stop talking without having to shush them. And I don't think it's okay.
How do you do it?
Because, you know, I hear that you're saying something, but can you hold on for a minute? I don't like the thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's somebody you know for the most part, though, right? Like a stranger, like, it's difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a social worker, so I feel like I'm pretty good at being able to like get people to stop talking when I need them to, but it is more difficult.
I'm going to go ahead and out on a limb here, too, and I'm just going to say that you have a different set of social skills being a trained professional as some of these other fools, too.
Greg, what do you think? Is there ever an appropriate time to shush somebody?
Yeah, when someone's interrupting your phone call.
Actually, this drives me nuts. So my wife will be standing or hovering near me when I'm making a phone call, like dealing with customer service or something like that. And she just wants to jump in or have the discussion or the argument with them. And then if I don't do it the same way as her, she's annoyed. And I'm like, why am I on the phone? Why am I the person making this phone call in the first place? And she will ask the same question 7 times in a row until she gets the answer that she's looking for. Whereas me, I take defeat after like 2 times of asking the same question, don't answer it. I'm like, I'm never going to get the answer from this person.
Do you put the finger up to say like, no, back off?
Oh, I've tried.
Or
yes.
Do you shush?
I try and do the finger up.
Or do you go the shh, shh?
Yeah, I've done both. They don't work.
You know, not with your wife.
They're both received kind of the same way.
You'll hear me a lot be like, "Mommy is on the phone. Mommy is on the phone."
Is that what you say when Paul starts to speak?
No, Paul knows better. Paul sees me on the phone.
He's like, say a word.
He knows like I'm already not happy because I'm on the phone and I don't want to take phone calls ever. But forget it. The kids, it's like not even a thing.
Oh, no.
They just call them right up. Like, you're not doing anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, they want to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Who are you talking to? Is that Nonna?
No.
I want to talk to Nonna.
It's Costco customer service. Right. No.
David, when can you shush somebody?
All right. I think the answer is never. I mean, when have you shushed somebody and they've ever listened to you? It just escalates to an argument all the time. It just gets worse.
That's a brilliant point in the fact that nobody ever responds well. Mm. It's true. It usually is confrontational. Used to be somebody would be like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'll shush my kids.
Yeah, they belong to you.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean somebody else, a random person, anybody else.
Oh, sometimes you got to get shushed. Sometimes you don't know how loud. How many times are we in a meeting and I have to shush you because it's so loud, it's deafening, and I know I'm going to walk out with a migraine.
Yeah, but there's witnesses, so you know you're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
The movie theater, you know, you used to be able to shush people like at a movie theater. Nope. Never now.
I've never had to deal with something that people were so torn about. You're either 100% a loyal fan or you think it's the worst thing in the world. You may remember a few weeks ago, we got this call.
If you buy anything from Temu, that's all I need to know about you.
I haven't bought anything yet. I don't know anything about the stuff, except it's like basically a budget Amazon, right? Or no?
I was on there this week, and there was a couple of things I thought about buying. They're dirt cheap. If they're the real thing, like, that's crazy.
But are they the real thing? Who knows about this? If somebody knows about Temu, can you please call us? And a lot of people called.
Oh, yeah, they called. And not only did they call, they were excited about it. Like, the people that I run into that order from Temu, whatever it is, we're not even sure.
We don't know.
They're really fired up about it. And then they had the Super Bowl commercials.
And everybody was going
And
there.
I was like, they got to be legit, right?
So here's one of the emails I got. Dear Anna, I use Temu a lot, and I've gotten great snow boots, gloves, PJ sweaters, sneakers. My brother orders from there, too. They're legit, and they have great stuff. Jen. Let me read a text from my Aunt Rita. Hi, Anna. If you really want to know about Temu, don't buy any clothes. The material is so cheap, I threw it in the garbage. And also, they stole my credit card information. LOL.
Immediately, you go to an accent.
I mean, my aunt has an accent.
And the other one could have had an accent, too. You don't know. You could have just made one up for them. Right?
I know my aunt. I love her.
Yeah, you know? Okay. You know what? Again, people are really fired up on one side or the other. I ran into a guy. He was telling me about all the stuff he bought for his Harley on there. Mm-hmm. And he would not stop talking to me about it.
All right. Well, here's the thing. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we said we were going to buy stuff. We were talking about this. So on March 8th, 2 weeks ago today, I placed an order for $55.89.
Mm-hmm.
We ordered steel toe shoes.
Sneakers. Steel-toed sneakers.
Sneakers, right.
Yeah.
Because we were going to put them on producer Sean, and then we were going to smash his toes with a hammer to see if it hurts.
Ironically, he broke his toes like 5 days after that. We're still going to do it, Sean, when they come in.
They're never coming in.
Yeah,
okay.
Relax.
All right. Then we ordered some kind of instrument because they said that you're supposed to be able to get instruments for really cheap. So I found a cool instrument. I ordered that. And I don't even remote know what the third thing was because here's the thing. After a week, I'm like, where's my Temu order?
Yeah.
And then it was 10 days. And then earlier this morning, I go, it's 2 weeks. Mm. I ordered this 2 weeks ago. So I go on the website. There is no record of my order.
Really?
Yeah. I went to all my emails. I never have any confirmation or anything.
Well, wait a minute. Did your charge card get charged?
Yes. And the smartest thing I did was that I paid through PayPal because I was like, well, if people are saying their credit card information is getting stolen, let me go through PayPal because it's really easy to refute and to like, you know, to go against something.
Yes.
So I did.
Yes.
So I'm on their website. I have the order number. I have everything because I have the printout from PayPal from when like the order went through and all that. Thank goodness I didn't expense it yet. Because it never came.
Oh, no. You should expense it. I would do that. You know, it feels like a rebate, right? Like something's going to show up after 7 weeks or something.
Well, like it was
not a good policy, by the way.
And like you get so used to Amazon where it's like the 2-day prime where it gets there that it just shows up. You even forgot like from 2 days ago what you ordered.
Well, that's the demand that we have, though, of the things that we order for. I mean, for 2 weeks, you should have gotten something.
Well, it said like when it said the estimated delivery, I was kind of bummed because it said like max delivery 5 to 10 days. I'm like, 10 days? That's ridiculous. Well, it's 2 weeks later. It's not here. And now I go to the website and there's no order. Mm. Now what? I don't know. I think Sarita was right. She was right.
Could have been user error, though.
No! I have the printout in my hand!
Okay. Mm-hmm.
experts are saying that we should be barefoot all the time, that we should stop wearing shoes. It's killing our feet.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the same type of people that believe that we should still be wearing loincloths and all live underneath a canopy tree. That would be great if you had the climate and the resources. For the rest of us, I'm going to wear my shoes.
1-800-330-9999. Top five places that you should never be barefoot. Brianna, number five.
Walk-in refrigerator.
Gets cold in there.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well, right? Yeah.
Frostbite real quick on those little toesies.
Oh, my God, imagine.
Number four, James.
A sidewalk in a major city.
Oh, I've been there. After you leave the club, those heels been hurting. You take them off. Next thing you know, you're in New York City walking on the sidewalk with no shoes on. And you're like, this is gross.
There is never a time where guys will do that, where they'll take their shoes off, right, and be walking with their shoes because their feet hurt. That's just not a thing that would ever occur with guys. But I will run out with the trash from my own house to my trash bin in my driveway in socks.
To me, that's disgusting. The
really?
Fact that you would go out in your socks and like go to like take out the garbage, I find to be awful.
So what is the grossest part about it? Is it that I'm stepping out with the socks or I'm stepping back in with the socks after? Is it the person that sees me out there in the street or is it the dirt I bring back in?
All of the above.
I mean, it is my driveway. I have a walkway directly from my house to the driveway. It's a very clean driveway. It's nice.
Still dirty.
It's sealed.
Still dirty.
Okay.
Top five places you should never be barefoot. Crystal, number three.
A farm where there are lots of large animals.
Yep.
Tell you what, I was in my neighbor's yard the other day, and I was like, dang, they need to scoop.
Oh, gosh. Right?
They're like, oh, yeah, anytime your dogs want to visit with our dogs, it's great. And I'm like, that's cool because my dogs love their dog, right? It's weird if I just try and drag them by on the sidewalk. So I step on their property now. But there's some minefield action going on out there. You got to be careful.
Yep.
What's worse, stepping in it with your bare feet or with your shoes on?
They're both terrible.
It's both terrible.
They're both terrible.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Gabriel, number two.
At a funeral.
Unless it's on the beach.
No, nobody's having a funeral on the beach.
Oh, yeah. Spread some ashes on the beach. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Okay. Well,
take it into Ocean.
Only if you're at... if your funeral's at the beach. If it's anywhere else, you have to have your shoes on. Otherwise, it's just strange.
You could be in Hawaii.
You just want to, like, go to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love beaches.
Yeah.
Love them.
Number one, Jenna.
Your budget gym's locker room.
Oh, there's so many viruses on that floor. If there's a pool or anything like that,
It would amaze me the amount of old guys that would walk around and they're just naked. Just naked.
Well, but the barefoot, you know what they have if you look at the bottom of their feet? Plantar warts.
What? So that keeps them safe?
No.
It keeps
nobody safe.
I was going to say.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a good idea. I mean, at a certain age, athlete's foot will kill you.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Santa and Raven Roadshow. All this week, we're going to be highlighting different items that you submitted to our friend, expert auctioneer Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. And he'll be telling us exactly what they're worth. Ryan, thank you so much for coming back. Whenever we do this, the amount of submissions we get in is always astounding.
You have destroyed my inbox.
I'm so sorry.
I think it's fascinating. Ryan is a great storyteller. He's obviously an expert in many of these different fields, and he gives you the history of these items. I feel like we learn something every time.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. What was the first object that was submitted here that you chose?
So the first one is comes from Cindy, and she sent in a $10 bill from 1901. This is called a buffalo or a bison because of the bison that's on the note.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. This is large format note, so almost twice the size of the bills that we use today. Imagine how big the wallets had to be that these were kept in then. Now, in 1901, $10 was a lot more money.
I was going to say, nobody had money, right? They weren't carrying around a whole lot of this money. So.
Yeah, they had a $20 gold coin in their pocket.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was $20 worth of gold, a full ounce, in 1901.
Wow.
Paper currency is much, much more rare than coins. Because it doesn't survive as well. It's made of paper. It didn't have the durability that we have now. Mm. And to find an early piece of U.S. paper currency in good condition is much more rare. This particular note now is 123 years old.
Wow.
And even though it's that old and it's paper money, this particular note is a common one. meaning they printed a lot. You can actually go to the records from the mints and they say, okay, we made 10 million of these or 2 million of these. And a lot of them got saved. Everything about paper currency is condition. So if it looks like the day it left the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, then it's going to be worth a super big premium. Notes like this that are in super high condition, $5,000 to $10,000.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. $5,000 to $10,000.
For a $10 bill.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because this one, that's a lot of money. Like, I'm excited to send Cindy the podcast of this if she's not listening right now. But the $2 bill, I feel like there's always this, I don't know, like folklore behind it that if you have a $2 bill, it's worth a lot of money now. Is that true?
99.9% of $2 bills in circulation are worth $2.
$2.
There are some rare ones. Don't get me wrong. There's a few out there that are worth something, but it's 1 in 2 million, 1 in 3 million chances that you have one that's actually worth something.
You're much better off with one of these.
Definitely.
This one, I looked at the condition as best I could from the photos. She's anywhere from $500 to $2,000 on this note.
Pretty good. Right. Hold on to that another 100 years. See how you do.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've been asking you to send in items from around your home that you want to know, what the heck is this? And is it worth anything? Finally, joining us, it's our friend, expert auctioneer Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. Ryan, we sent you so many emails. We said, pick which ones you thought were most interesting. And what did Donna send?
Donna sent in, this is a weird image. I'll try and describe it to you. It looks like someone's attic. And in the attic, instead of using wallboard or plywood, they took an old advertising sign from the side of a deli and stapled it to the wall as material to build the house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a brand of bread called Bond Bread. And it has an endorsement from a little girl eating the bread. She was a Paramount player back in, I think it was the 1940s or something like that.
Paramount player, that means like a studio actress, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so somebody that was under contract for those studios. They don't really do that stuff anymore. Well, Netflix is doing it again.
Yeah, I mean, I would like a bread endorsement.
Me too. I love bread. Yeah.
Oh, you're selling bread? Well, we got to get that one. She's the one for the bread.
Yep.
I feel like I have the bread body for it. You know what I mean?
You might be right.
So this sign is actually super rare. So there's lots and lots of Bond bread signs. They made little things that went on the door pushes, things went on the countertops. But this would be a large sign that went on the outside of a building, was meant to be out in the elements. And I actually could not find another publicly sold example of this particular sign.
Wow.
Which would make it pretty rare, and it would be desirable by collectors. But it appears that this one is cut down on the side so that they could fit it into the corner of the attic and then nailed straight to a 2x4.
Oh, gosh.
That being said, if it was perfect, right, $1,000 to $2,000. Like it sits, it would still probably fall in that $300-$400 mark.
I'm afraid of what they got behind there, right? If they cut it down to fit into the corner and then they nailed it right to the 2x4, there could be something living behind that thing.
Mice. That's what's living behind that. Mice.
I'm going with gold coins. Yeah. That's where the stash is.
Ryan, I always, like, when I watch that show, oh my gosh, what are those two guys?
American Pickers.
American Pickers. Thank you very much. They're always getting signs. How do you know that the signs that you're buying or you're getting are collectible and worth a lot of money versus the ones that are just junk?
So in the sign market is so hot that it is full of reproductions. Mm-hmm. And the kind of reproductions where they make it brand new overseas, they bring it in and they shoot BB guns at it, mm-hmm. they make it a little rusty so that it looks old. You have to be really careful. As long as it's the same size, the exact same size as a known example of the sign, you're getting it from a good collection or a reputable auction house, you should be fine. What you shouldn't do is have a couple cocktails, get on eBay and buy something because you think it looks neat.
Okay.
Because it's going to show up. It's going to be 4 inches and it's going to be made in China yesterday.
Dang.
We're going to have more with Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions coming up tomorrow.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand, why should I go to this wedding now?
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make him an excuse. You can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Corner on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Rebecca and Josh. Rebecca, what's going on?
My stepson, it doesn't listen to anything I ask him to do. He's 15. He's a freshman in high school.
he's always leaving the house a mess, as you can imagine a 15-year-old boy would, and that's fine, but he just constantly throws it in my face that his real mom doesn't make him clean the bathrooms or sweep, and, like, that he shouldn't have to do it. I mean, I just want him to do his part and, like, contribute around the house.
I mean, I
don't... He's here 3 days a week.
Josh, if your son is saying he doesn't want to do anything, can't you step up and say, yeah, no, this is our house and you should be doing stuff and you should be listening to your stepmother?
I do step in. He has selective hearing, you know, like any teen does. Yeah, once in a while you can get him to clean his room, and then most of the time he doesn't. It's just, I don't, show me a teen that has their, you know, a teenage boy that has their room clean all the time.
How long ago was the divorce? I'm sorry to get all in your business, but here we are.
2 years ago.
All right. And so you guys have been married how long?
About 2 years.
So it was quick, basically. Divorce happens. You guys turn around and get married right away.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, obviously that's difficult for a teenager to go through, right? That doesn't excuse all behavior. Rebecca, I'm familiar. All right. I'm a stepdad, so I get it. This is not an easy job. It's definitely difficult at some times. I mean, you're kind of caught in a pickle here for a while. This is, you know, kind of par for the course, especially when they're a teenager.
Teenagers, I say with all due respect, are terrible people.
Terrible people.
And they have, they, like,
terrible people.
They don't even mean it. Like, they don't even know what they're doing. And, like, you know, my daughter is 15 right now, and it's like a light switch. I always say when you pick her up from school, you don't know what you're going to get. Mm. And I don't think it's meant to be hurtful. I do think he's doing it to be hurtful, or you think he's doing it just because...
Oh, yeah. When they're a step kid, they're definitely doing it to be hurtful at first. Yeah.
Really? I don't know. I feel like the same thing would happen with my daughter. She'd be like, I'm not doing it.
He's expressing himself. Yeah. It stinks, right, Rebecca? I mean, he's nasty. It's in the tone of voice. It's in the eyes. It's in all of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's like, on one side, I totally understand all the points. On the other side, it's like there is some work that needs to be done for, in terms of like me feeling the respect that I need to feel. And we got to work together, you know, like it's not just he calls the shots.
So you and Josh's first wife, your stepson's a biological mother. You don't discuss co-parenting amongst the two of you.
You know, it's not the most amicable setup. We don't talk very much.
Yeah. Okay.
So no, it's there's not a lot of co-parenting going. I mean, just when she has them, she has them. When I have them, I have them.
And you both have a different way of doing it, right? And this is where the conflict goes, and the inner conflict for the kid too. It's a difficult position to be in.
Rebecca, I love you, but I think you need to back off on this. I think he's not only a teenage kid with all the hormones rushing through his body, but he's going through a tough one. And frankly, you both don't trust each other yet. You have to build that trust before you can ask, you know, I know it seems silly, but ask him to have his room clean and whatnot.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say. Should Rebecca back off? It's new. It's a stepson. Or... are you with her? Josh, you got to step up to your son and say, this is your stepmother, and you have to listen to her.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What do you do if your 15-year-old stepson refuses to clean up around the house, and he says that when I'm at my mom's house, I don't have to do this, so why should I have to do it when I'm here? That's what's the disagreement between Rebecca and Josh. They've been married for 2 years now, and... Josh's 15-year-old son, he just doesn't listen, he doesn't clean, and Rebecca's upset because she feels like Josh does nothing to back her up. His argument is he's 15, just let him do his thing.
Well, listen, I mean, he got divorced from his first wife, from Josh's mom, 2 years ago. They got married directly after the divorce. I mean, this is a quick turnaround there, and then you're 15 years old on top of that. I mean, it's a difficult situation. But Rebecca says, I'm not asking a lot. I'm just looking for the house to be clean. But every time I'm asking him anything, it's a problem. It's an attitude.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Carol and Kathy, what do you ladies think?
I totally agree with the stepmom because it's been 2 years. It hasn't been 5 minutes. And I think the kid needs to be taught maturity and being allowed to just behave however he wants, you know, is allowing him to become an immature adult. It's not going to service him in the future to not be able to take care of himself or his home. I think she's trying to teach him life skills that will benefit him in the future. And, you know, if it was the first month, I'd be like, all right, give him a break. But this has been 2 years. I think the father needs to step up, stand up for his new wife. Be like, hey, this is how we like to live our lives. This is the amount of cleanliness we like to live in.
you know? Yeah. Also, if they don't establish, the mother needs the respect, too. Like, if she is willing to just let him disrespect her, I don't think it's going to change.
It's a concern here, I think, Anna, is that if the biological mother is telling her, you don't have to listen to your stepmom, that's very, very detrimental.
Well, that's a different conversation. Is he just rebelling because he's 15, or is there an issue that's bigger? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. As a stepmother, how much say do you have over what your stepson does? Because Rebecca's been very upset. It's been 2 years since she's been married to Josh, and her 15-year-old stepson will not listen. He doesn't clean up around the house. He leaves his room a constant mess. And whenever she tries to confront him about it, he says, my mom doesn't make me do this at my other house. Like, why would I do it here?
I want to, reveal something that may be shocking to some, but teenagers can be difficult.
Yeah.
They have difficult times.
They do.
And a situation like this is difficult all in general because everybody has to learn each other here. Yes, it's been 2 years, but living together at that time, right after a divorce and a remarriage, can be very difficult, and it's emotional for people. And I will say this, the team around Rebecca is important. So what Josh does, his actions directly, they affect that.
And Josh says, he's 15.
Let him go through it.
Just let him do his thing. Yeah. He doesn't want to clean his room. Don't let him clean. Why are you picking fights with him? Just let it be. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Nick, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the wife's side, but it's got to be utilized as a skill, teaching him a skill, not as, hey, you got to do this. It's just things that kids should learn as they go forward.
Yeah.
You can always use shock therapy like I did to my niece. I just went to the house when my sister called, opened the window, and threw everything out. The room has always been neat every day after that.
I can't imagine losing my title of the world's best aunt by doing something like that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Hey, Patricia, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side. Yes, it's a difficult situation all around, but daddy needs to step up some more. And it's going to be even more difficult for her because if the mother doesn't provide structure, may God and the force be with you because you're going to have a hard fight on your hands.
Right, right.
But even though it's rough, they do need structure and they do need to learn discipline, and that you cannot let up on. And daddy, step it up.
Right.
Stop
talking set
about
the tone. Right.
Thanks, Patricia.
Thanks for the call, Patricia. Have a great day.
Emily, what do you think?
So I am definitely on his side. It's just rite of passage as a teenager. You just have to be a little disobedient. I think eventually he'll kind of just start cleaning his own room. I have a daughter, too, and it's, like, impossible to get her to clean.
Mm-hmm. Again, it is a very difficult time in general if you have the best of a home situation. And obviously, with a quick divorce and a quick remarriage at 15 years old when you're a teenager, and it all began 2 years ago, 13, I mean, that's a shocking, shocking revelation for you as a teenager. So a little grace is maybe in order here.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rebecca, our audience agreed with you today. It's not fair, Josh. It's her home, too. And if he's not doing his part, then you need to step up to make sure he does.
So I should kick him out of the house?
Nope. You should have conversations with him and try to break through with him and teach him the right way to go about things.
Rebecca, I'm just going to say the votes are with you. But, I mean, as somebody who's kind of lived through this, you should probably try and meet somewhere in the middle, right? Like, you need to
yes.
Make sure that you're keeping the perspective of what your stepson is going through, right? Because right now, he doesn't trust you. You don't trust him. It's too fresh. But that time will come, and you don't want to make all the same mistakes that, you know, you've seen other people make or whatever, right? You got to kind of, like, take it and let it roll right off you.
Yeah, I'm all about meeting in the middle. That's, like, I'm all about that. As long as there's a middle point, I won't. Yeah. You know, meet him exactly where he wants me to meet him, but I'll meet him in the middle with understanding and empathy, and I think you're right there.
Well, he may take all that and spit in your face the first few times, but I wish you guys luck. All right, good luck.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,800 is the cash jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Matt, you ready to play today?
Absolutely.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
All right, Raven, time to leave the room.
All right, good luck, Matt.
Okay, here we go. Raven's walking out of here. That door's going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. You're going to have 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Let's go.
Number one, Lady Gaga announced her summer dates for Jazz and Piano. That's a residency that she's having in Vegas. What's Lady Gaga's real legal first name?
I don't know.
Number two, there's a list of artists that don't write many of their own songs. Blake Shelton wrote 4 songs on his last 5 albums. Jason Aldean only has written 1 song since 2005. And the artist with songs like Can't Help Falling in Love, Jailhouse Rock, and Don't Be Cruel wrote 0, none. Who was that?
Elvis.
Number three, Originals Blue's Clues host Steve Burns did another check-in video following that Nickelodeon documentary Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. Blue's Clues is a Nick Jr. show, that's why. What's Blue's Clues' best friend's name that lives next door?
I have no clue.
Number four, Jerry Seinfeld is reportedly a billionaire now. What was Kramer's first name?
Cosmo.
And number five, Sean Penn helped make a shoe brand with the slogan Off the Wall very successful by wearing them in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Last year, the owner ran into Sean at a restaurant in Hawaii, and he thanked him and paid for his dinner. What shoe brand is that?
Vans.
Let me bring Raven back in. You redeemed yourself a little bit at the end, Matt. I don't know if it's enough. 3 out of 5 for Matt.
Not great, not terrible. $1,800. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Lady Gaga announced summer dates for her jazz and piano residency in Vegas.
I know, I'm looking.
What's Lady Gaga's real legal first name?
Stephanie.
That's right. Number two, there's a list of artists that don't write many of their own songs. Blake Shelton only wrote 4 songs on his last 5 albums. Mm. Jason Aldean has only written 1 song since 2005. And the artist that had hits like Can't Help Falling in Love, Jailhouse Rock, and Don't Be Cruel wrote 0. Who was that?
Elvis.
That's right. Number three, Original Blue's Clues host Steve Burns did another one of those check-in videos following the Nickelodeon documentary Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. I keep hearing the wildest things about it, and I'm torn on when I want to watch it or not, because people say it's so incredibly disturbing.
Well, it's going to be very upsetting to you because you have this facade of what you thought these shows were and what life on them might have been like, but obviously there's a lot more that was going on.
I mean, it's so much hype. I think I have to. All right, Blue's Clues is a Nick Jr. show. That's why he's speaking out. What's Blue's best friend's name that lives next door?
Oh, get some of this. Magenta? I've been watching some TV with the grandson.
Number four, Jerry Seinfeld is reportedly a billionaire now. What was Kramer's first name?
Cosmo.
And number five, Sean Penn helped make a shoe brand with the slogan Off the Wall very successful by wearing a pair of them in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And last year, the owner ran into Sean at a restaurant in Hawaii. He thanked him and paid for his dinner. What shoe brand was that?
It's got to be Vans.
That's right. I'm sorry, Matt. 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Well, we gave it a good shot. This is Matt, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $1,900 tomorrow, Anna.